Good to be with you all today. Sometimes, I'm just looking for a way to say something, and it comes to me when that on the last verse of the gospel song. So if I write it down, I'll remember it. What we did, we got back from council this week, and it was, it's always a good week. It breaks up the routine a little bit. So, but we learned one thing. We learned lots of things, but one thing we learned is that reggae music and worship just don't go together. And so we'll fill you in on that another time, but just know, I'll make that promise to you. We won't mix reggae with worship. It just didn't work. Just didn't work. We saw it. It didn't work. This Lent, I want to spend time in the Old Testament in some of the stories of the heroes of our faith and how they connect with us. And today is about Abraham. Now, in the scripture that we read today, he was Abraham. Right, his name hasn't been changed yet. God changes his name to Abraham. Abraham is father. Abraham is father of many. So I'm just going to refer to him as Abraham because that's how we all know him. The song Father Abraham is just not as catchy as Father Abraham, right? It's we know him as Abraham. I know him as Abraham. I think of him as Abraham. But just know the person we read about in our Old Testament story, Abraham, is Abraham just before his name gets changed by God. About halfway through his story. And today's scripture from Genesis 12 is his calling story. So it's really where Abraham's story begins. And it's just important for us to take a second and appreciate how much God was asking of Abraham. Because we consider Abraham the father of faith. Not only us, Jewish people, Muslim people, all consider Abraham the father of faith. It's kind of incredible to think that of all the people in the world, the majority of them would trace their faith ancestry to Abraham, right, as the father of faith. And his story starts with this big ask that God makes of him today. And I don't know what Abraham's religion practices were. I'm assuming he practiced religion and he had some sort of gods or worship that he did. The God that we know, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, as Paul calls him, Abraham didn't really know a lot about him. He just thought he was one of the gods. And Abraham is where that changes. God connects with Abraham in this story and starts a relationship where he says, I'm calling you so that the world knows me, not just as a God up in the sky that does things when it thunders and lightnings, but a God that's in relationship with you. So Abraham, I'm calling you so that the world will know me. And that's the relationship that God and Abraham have. And God asks Abraham, this relationship starts with an ask. And the ask is, Abraham, go, leave. Go do something leave your country, your kindred, and your father's house. Three things he asks for him to do. One, to leave his country, so his hometown, where he grew up, where he knows everyone, where he went to high school, and where his rec basketball league is, and where he has breakfast with his buddies every Tuesday morning. Like, God is asking Abraham, leave what's familiar. Leave what's familiar and comfortable. So Abraham lived in a town, Ur of the Chaldeans, and Ur is in modern-day Iraq. And Ur was, for the time, 4,000 years ago, 4,500 years ago, kind of a city, like a metropolitan area. And so God's asking Abraham, leave the city and go on this journey over to the land that I'll show you. That is not quite like where you came from. So leave what's comfortable. That's the first thing he asked Abraham that I think we need to appreciate. If you've ever kind of grown up somewhere and then had to leave or moved and start over somewhere, you know how hard that is. You know how challenging that can be. God asks Abraham, pick up, leave what's comfortable, go start somewhere new. The second thing he does is he says, leave your kindred. So your people, your family, your friends, the people that you live life with here, right? you're going to have to say goodbye to them and make new relationships. And so leave what's comfortable, and the people who make you comfortable, the people you live life with, you're going to have to say goodbye to some of those too. He does bring his wife and his nephew. But I mean, Abraham's, you know, probably not going to make his 30th high school reunion on this trip. You know, there's a sense of comfort that he's got to give up and a sense of familiarity. And then the third thing is leave his father's house. Now, we might hear that and think God's asking Abraham to just kind of find a new place to live. But, you know, in Abraham's world, your job was your dad's job, right? There wasn't a whole lot of like career counselors in those times because you didn't need them. If your dad was a farmer, guess what? You're a farmer. And if your dad was a blacksmith, guess what? You're a blacksmith. And if your dad was, you know, a shepherd, you're a shepherd. That's how it worked. And so when God's asking Abraham to leave his father's house, he's saying, leave your job. Leave the life that you've been trained, the job that you've been trained to do, leave it behind. So leave the place you've always known, the people you've grown up and lived life with, and the job that you've your whole life been trained to do. No problem, right? It's a big ask. What God is asking Abraham is a huge ask. And then you might think that on the other side, God will say, here's the guarantees you're going to have. And he does give him promises. But you would think, you know, if you've ever changed jobs, you understand sometimes you change jobs for quality of life reasons. Sometimes you change jobs because someone offers you more money at a different job. Right? You understand, I'm willing to leave this because I'm getting this here. And God says, go leave all these places to a land I will show you. Right? I'm not going to show it to you now, but just trust me, it's there. A land I will show you. And here's the promises God makes to Abraham. I will make of you a great nation. I will make your name great. And then I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. So we don't know this yet in the story, but Abraham's greatest prayer, his longing was to have children. He had not been able to have children up to this point. Abraham prayed to have children. So he hears God say, I will make of you a great nation, meaning you're going to have offspring and grandkids and great-grandkids, and that's what's filling his mind. I will make of you a great nation. I will make your name great, your reputation. Very, very important in Abraham's time. Your name and reputation, what it means when you say, I know Abraham, what we think of. And then God says, I'm going to live life with you. Right? On one hand, he's asking Abraham to leave the people he lives life with, and God's saying, I'm going to live life with you. So the people that are good to you, I'm going to be good to them, and the people that are bad to you, I'm going to be bad to them. I'm going to do this with you. And then he tells them, all of this is happening so that the world might be blessed through you. Abraham, I'm calling you, giving you this big ask, to leave these things that make you comfortable and give you stability and security, trusting me along the journey so that the world might know me. You're the person who's going to help me teach the world who I am. So it's a huge ask. So God asks Abraham to leave some things behind. He promises him some things along the way. And then ultimately, this is not just for Abraham, but it's for the whole world, God tells him. So here's where I want to pick this up and say, how does that connect with us? How does this story connect with us? Well, a few ways. Let me start with one, the need for faith. You and I, trying to follow Jesus, are on this journey. And it would be great if everything was always comfortable, if everything was always familiar, if everything always went exactly how the routine we wanted it to go would unfold. But you have lived enough life, and I have lived enough life to know that's not how it works. That there are going to be moments along the way where it's going to be uncomfortable, and it's going to feel unfamiliar, and we're going to get put in situations of change that maybe we didn't ask for. And God is going to walk with us in them, but he's going to ask us to trust his promises along the way, right? That he's with us. That he's not leaving us alone, that he's going to live this life with us, walk the journey with us. And that's why Abraham's the father of faith, because that's what he needed. You and I need that too. Right? If you're in a season of life where everything is just working perfectly, that is awesome. I hope it stays as long as possible. But most of us are not in a season of life where everything is just working perfectly. They're going according to plan. We're in a season of life where some things do and some things don't. And Abraham should inspire us or remind us at least that God's promise is that in the midst of that uncomfortableness or some of the lack of security or the lack of stability, that he walks with us and asks us to trust his promises, that he is asking us to have faith. So that's one way, the reminder, the call to faith. The second is about when he calls us. Because there might be a moment in our life where everything is just kind of set up and we have the routine like Abraham did. We know what our job is. We know where we're living. We know what the people we're living with. And in some way, God kind of stirs in us a disruption, a calling. I'm not meaning a calling to be a priest, but a calling for some way to serve him. And it's going to require us to make some changes. Maybe let some things go, to trust him along the way. I don't know. I've sat down with people who have said this. They've just said, I don't know what's happening. I just feel like God is asking me to do something a little more for him in my life right now. He's calling me to do something more for him, right? That could mean 100 different things. But I've heard that version of a conversation from people more often than not, that they just feel, I can't quite put a finger on it, but God's stirring in me for something, right? Just like God was stirring in Abraham for something. And it's going to require letting a few things go and maybe picking up a few things and trusting him along the way. Not having it all figured out for the next 10 years, but just trusting what that extra something might be. And it might be something very simple, and it might be something big. Who knows? And then the third way is to just remember God answers prayers often through calling people who are the answer to prayers. So thinking back in those days, if we were thinking, man, I wish the world knew God more, the answer to that prayer is God choosing Abraham to say, you're going to be the one to teach the world about me. He calls a person to answer the prayer. So maybe in our time, we have prayers about the world, about our community, about our family, about our church, about all sorts of life, that we said, I wish the world was more kind or more loving or more merciful or more gracious or more whatever our prayer might be. And it's just important to remember that one of the things God likes to do is call people to be answers to prayers. So we may be getting stirred because God's stirring us to answer prayers. Mother Teresa would say it like this. She would say, when I was young, I used to think this. I would pray and God would make all the changes in the world that I prayed for. She says, and then as I got a little older, I realized I would pray and God would make the changes in me so that I recognized my part in being his hands and feet in the answer to the prayers. And so there might be a time when God's stirring in you because you're an answer to a prayer, right? There might be a time when God's stirring in you because your prayer that the world might be a little more merciful, a little more kind, a little more loving is being answered through God stirring in you a calling of some sorts, right? Don't think of calling just as priesthood, a calling to do something for him. So I would encourage you to keep Abraham in mind as you pray, as you walk in faith, as you deal with kind of uncomfortable moments. Let Abraham be our guide and remind us that Sometimes God stirs us up out of the routine to call us into something, but he promises to walk with us along the way. And sometimes life stirs up our routine and we don't get the choice. And God promises to walk with us and asks us for faith along the way, like he did Abraham. And sometimes God might call you, not because of anything you did or your worthiness, but because of his love and desire to answer prayers. He may call you to be the answer to a prayer. And so it's helpful to keep Abraham in mind for all three reasons. And I hope, wherever you might be in your life this week, you might find your inner Abraham, whether you need the call to persevere in faith, whether you feel a stirring, or whether when you pray, you might think now, well, what's my part? What might God be calling me in answering the prayers like he did for Abraham? Ultimately, Abraham's call was to be a blessing. Everything God did for Abraham was to bless so many. And when we say yes to him, when we walk in faith, when we answer his call, same thing. He's calling us to be a blessing to many. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.